It is night. You see a massive silver birch tree, larger than any other in view, perhaps any in the hollow, save the Winya themselves. As we scan from the ground, we come upon a very strange series of branches all around the trunk in the same diagonal angle. As we move up, we see that these branches grow into a massive circular platform, bisected by the trunk itself. We now move out to see that that tree holds an impossibly large round treehouse. This weird building seems almost to have grown out of the tree itself. The windows glow with pale yellow light, and smoke plumes out of a large stone chimney to one side with slated bark roof. Hear a low chant of about a half dozen voices. This is the home of the Kaliak, the witches of Winya's Hollow. For centuries, they've lived here in one of the very few fixed places in the Enchanted Forest. As we enter, we see a large circular space, surrounded by a series of small hut-like dwellings, where one would presume the witches lived. In the center is the trunk of the tree, covered with many strange markings and images that appear to tell the story of their order. Seven figures circle the trunk, hands clasped together, chanting in low voices, all with dour expressions. It is clear from examining the huts that there were many more than seven inhabitants here normally. As the chant comes to a close, one of the witches speaks.
Brothers and sisters, tonight we embark on what may be our final act in this world. We have pledged our lives and souls to the protection of the Winya, and many of our order have declared that mission a failure. They believe that the Winya left this world, never to return. But we know that they are wrong. We know that the corruption of the Slua would cause the Winya to abandon us. It stands to us, we few, we faithful, to stem the tide of this corruption. We have lived many years thanks to the grace of the Winya. But still, we are mortal beings. We are bound to this flesh, and this flesh is bound to the world. Even so, we must go where we do not belong. We must follow the shifting path. We must end this scourge. Tonight, we journey to the heart of this infection, to rip it out, root and stem, or leave this world forever. Ready yourselves, family. With that, the witch makes a final incantation, and the ambient light in the room begins to dim. As she completes the magical words, she raises her right arm and begins to trace a spiral in the air. The rest of the witches follow and make the same gesture. As they move in unison, they start to fade from sight. And as they completely disappear, they freeze in place, their faces twisted in expressions of utter confusion. And their eyes go solid white. And all at once, the treehouse of the Kaliak goes silent. Welcome, welcome, welcome. We are the Architects of Entropy, and this is episode 28. And we are back in the studio. We are still minus Kevin, who is on a world tour of places that are
much cooler than this.
Much cooler than, well, you know. I love being in the studio, though. I'm not going to lie. But maybe Switzerland would be better. Scott is still in his hidden volcano lair. Hey, Scott.
Hey, how you doing?
Hey. And last time we met your characters, you were still in Winya's Hollow. You had been attacked by flying, horrible, sleep-inducing rabbits that were able to knock Nolan and Kiernan unconscious. Nolan had a vision of an altercation with fellow Knights of the Broken Lance over some old guy that I have no idea what that had to do with anything, but we might find out at another time when Nolan gets a flashback, like of his real, actual life. So how did that make you feel, Scott, that little weird glimpse of
That was very enlightening. That was Nolan getting some purpose. Mm-hmm. He's kind of playing this game a bit open-ended, and now he's, I think, got a notion of the path he's supposed to be on. That's good. I don't know that it helps him in the weird Fey realm of where we are now. He's just got to find his good luck Isak now, and everything will be okay.
Yeah, who knows what kind of adventures she's going on. Perhaps...
Sounds great. Sounds like
a lot of fun.
Zeke is somewhere cool.
Probably better than what we're doing.
See how many rabbits are in Zeke's solo. But I quite liked it. I think that was very good. I was very proud of myself. I mean, Nolan. How I handled that situation.
And obviously, you fellow combatants, you've been in a couple of fights with Nolan now. You might notice that he... operates a little differently than the straight out fighters you've seen. And I would say, how would you describe him? More like, taking advantage of a...
He's a less knightly combat and more a school of hard knocks kind of a situation. I mean, he's totally knightly. I don't know what you're talking about.
Yeah, he's kind of a street fighter knight.
A little more going for knees and gouging out eyes than you'd expect, but pretty practical knight.
The road is a tough place. Not everyone's cut out for it. Right. And being a warden of the road is, it's a different kind of life. And we have now encountered another creation of one of our players, the Knight of Brambles, which, Scott, you actually came up with that idea. How is it matching up to what you were thinking at this point?
Just right. Somebody who's kind of out of place, out of time, but, has a duty. Scott has a theme that he runs with, I guess, all the time, but kind of making the best because they have a code. So they're like, well, I'm here now, but I have my code. I do this. So good so far. Her roles were pretty bad. So, I need you to work on that. You need to be a little bit more helpful.
Yeah, I've unfortunately brought my low rolling dice with me this time by accident. Use them in other games where you have to roll low. So I'm going to break out my less low rolling dice here and see how they do if I have to roll dice against you in the future. But yeah, these are the perils of how I'm doing things now, as I'm being kind of forced to go back to a more analog setup here, with the exception of the character that I have on my phone in D&D Beyond. But it's true. I think by and large, the groups that we play in are still, for the most part, pen and paper people.
For the most part, yeah.
Yeah. I'm the one who seems to be using digital stuff. And it's mostly just because my handwriting is horrible. I do everything I can to not have to write stuff down. For example, I don't believe I even brought my notebook with me this week. So once again, Scott lives on my laptop and I live on my phone and some books and a dry erase board. So it's all a peek behind the screen. And I'm not using my screen either because it just seemed to take up too much space.
There are no bunnies on it, so it didn't help. Help set the mood. I am digging D&D Beyond because there's a lot of especially when you have a screwed up, stupid, very arcane, not optimized build like Sir Nolan is, it's really nice to be able to flick around and find all the stupid little things I'm supposed to be doing to make this character survivable, which is, I'm not doing a very good job of playing this character mechanics wise, but I'm loving that.
And you also don't have to contend with spells with your build, so
I thought somebody in the party shouldn't have spells. That was a good move.
I, for one, appreciate that because, having four spellcasters gets
ridiculous. I also can't speak to animals, so it's a real problem. I really don't fit in at all.
But evidently our animal can speak to us.
Or at least could speak to you. Might not be able to speak to you now, and you're not exactly sure. Then again, he wasn't supposed to be able to speak to you before. Yeah, he could be.
He's a teenage wolf.
He definitely is moving into the teen years of his life.
Teenage mentor, so.
Teenage dad and teenage wolf. That's what we're rocking these days. And,
coming soon to the Hallmark Channel. Maybe the CW. I don't know. We'll pitch it around.
Yes, the CW.
Who's going to take dad to the prom? Who's going to take the wolf to the prom?
It's not dad.
And after that, you were attacked by creatures that turned out to be things called boggarts, which are little shape-changing fae that, according to the Knight of Brambles, are not supposed to be here. As we have learned through the creation of Wenya's Hollow, that Wenya's Hollow is supposed to kind of filter out straight-up evil stuff. But we also know that over time, even the Fae here occasionally become evil and get corrupted and can be a problem. So something has definitely happened to Wenya's Hollow that has thrown things out of sorts. And at the end of your fight, you are in a strange clearing that used to be one of these magical ponds, which apparently has been drained, maybe by these boggarts, maybe by something else. You follow the Knight of Brambles, who refers to herself as Fiora, a strange fey being that is not of Wenya's Hollow, but appears to be here for some purpose to perhaps help Wenya's Hollow. She brings the three of you and Rain through a path that you didn't see before. You trek for some time as she leads you. Occasionally, it feels like you are in one place and then suddenly somewhere else.
Hmm.
This happens a few times throughout the course of maybe 5 minutes, maybe an hour, maybe 3 days. Hard to tell. Your sense of time and place is shifted constantly the more you are here. And those, you know, who know anything about the Fae know that the Fae Wilds are a place that doesn't make traditional sense to regular old mortal people. That time has a tendency to move differently, fast, slow, forward, backward. You get a sense that Wenya's Hollow is here on Ayamora, but also in another place from occasion to occasion. As you keep going, occasionally you will see this stream. And when you are by the stream, you get more of a sense that you are in our world and heading north. Those of you who have that kind of direction sense, things look different. They feel more real. But she eventually leads you to another clearing that widens out. And it looks like you have hit a point amidst the stream where a massive cliff comes into view. And by the looks of the rock that makes up the cliff, this was once a massive waterfall. The cliff itself goes up maybe about 100 feet, and you expect to see this huge waterfall feeding into this stream that becomes more of a river, but there is barely a trickle of water coming over the waterfall. This kind of lush area has a real autumnal look to it, where the leaves on the trees are mostly down. You don't hear a lot of animals in this area, just, you know, the occasional like buzzing of insects and occasional chirping of birds. But she has erected a tent, and the tent is made of branches and leaves, but it's this big structure, and she brings you into this tent. And when you go into the tent, you find yourselves in like a camp. It is definitely bigger in here than outside, for sure.
There's a Time Lord. We don't have this kind of... I mean, we didn't have qualified for this.
And those of you who are more magically inclined know that there are, like, pocket dimensions and things that, like, certain spellcasters can have, like, huts or buildings that have a small outside, and it basically takes you into another dimension. So this is one of those things, and it seems to be controlled mostly by the tent itself. Here is a place where we can safely rest. This is my camp. This is... or was the center of Wenya's Hollow. This waterfall is a sacred place. This is where Wenya's Hollow was created. It all emanated from this area. This is where, and she gestures around, like when she points outside of the tent, to areas where there's these really big trees that appear to be not dead, but definitely don't give you the fullness that you would expect. The Wenya no longer speak here. I believe that, well, it's difficult to explain in ways that you would understand, but reality, as you know it, is a fixed thing. You experience time as a path, a straight line from one place to another. And in that path, every decision creates a branch that continues this path from beginning to end. Reality, as people like myself understand it, is a different thing. There are those of us who experience all manner of paths at once or in random order. There are those of your kind that have fancied themselves protectors or guardians of these paths. You have, in your world, the elves, self-appointed guardians of reality. They, with the best of intentions, have presented themselves as a for lack of a better word, the policing of reality in this world. Time ago, some of their kind attempted to come to Wenya's Hollow to dwell here and do their duty as protectors of reality. And the Wenya themselves rejected them, told them they were not needed, and that the Wenya would manage themselves. What the Wenya are is difficult to quantify in terms you would understand, but the Wenya, as they exist in this world, are beings of peace and tranquility. and their purpose in this reality seems to hold a place of balance. There are many such places in this world that have different focuses. There is the Nexus that the Isog are charged with helping to protect. Now, this is an area of raw chaos that is necessary to this world, but also incredibly dangerous. And then there is somewhere in this world a focus of pure order that works in an opposition to this Nexus. But for all of these things, your conception of good and evil, as it is, plays into all of these things in a very different way. The forces of pure reality do not deal in such absolutes. There is chaos, there is order, and then there is balance. Good and evil are not really relevant to them. So, from what I've been able to piece together, at some time within the history of this world, something has happened to corrupt these forces, but corrupted it for some purpose that we've yet to understand. So the balance here has been defended over the years. There are beings who dwell within Wenya's Hollow. There are, of course, the beings of the Fae, which were born of this land, the sprites and pixies, as you know them. Mm-hmm. They are the native denizens of this land, and the brownies, their lessers, are the workers. They are the ones who exist here for more earthly purpose. They have been the ones who have been occasionally corrupted or have embraced darker paths. This relative corruption has been combated by a force known as the Gloaming. It was created by other denizens of this land, the Kaliok, witches, some call them warlocks, but they are other self-appointed guardians. They are people, mostly, not natives of the Hollow. They are people who, one way or another, found themselves here and been allowed to remain. Some have come and gone. There are Kaliok of virtually every sentient race in this world. But given that they are also not natives of the Fae, the Gloaming is only as good as the beings that have created it. I have learned that one of the main protective entities that the Wenya has allowed to exist is something known as the Slua. You may have encountered some affected by the forgetting. The Slua dwells within Wenya's Hollow to keep those outsiders who have ill intent from being able to harm the native dwellers or those who have been given permission by the Wenya to dwell here. They are given a choice. They can leave or stay with a price. And those who choose to stay, either by greed or some other similar purpose, are subject to the forgetting. They become not mindless, but purposeless beings that serve as a warning to others to keep their purposes here pure. But whatever happened that started leaking the corruption into Wenya's Hollow has affected the balance between the Wenya and the Slua. The Wenya have retreated. They have been sleeping or perhaps pulling away. It's hard to say. They are not easy to understand even through other Fae. But in that time, the Slua's influence has become greater in the Hollow, and its abilities are moving out. The Forgotten have never been able to leave Wenya's Hollow, but they have been moving out in all directions across the land and have been causing problems. The confusion of the Slua is infectious. It can infect others either briefly or some permanently. It can also be controlled. Because their purpose has been taken from them, purpose can be instilled in them by others. It has been known to happen from time to time. They said this is not a perfect place, but it is designed to exist in a balance. I believe that the Slua, which creates a spiral pattern that grows within Wenya's Hollow, is possibly corrupted as well. And I have worked out very recently that my purpose is to enter the spiral, to confront the Slua and whatever corruption has taken hold, and end it. Perhaps that will bring the Wenya back. But I need to find an entrance to the spiral. And I believe that whatever has happened to the Wenya has disrupted the Gloaming. The downside of that is that the Forgotten are free to roam. The beings of ill intent can move through here more freely or be controlled, and that other Fae who find their way here, who would normally be blocked by the Gloaming, like the Boggarts and other beings, can come in here freely to drain areas like the ponds. Ponds here are largely areas that beings who exist within the Hollow can refresh themselves, heal their areas of safety. But like you saw, where we just came from, the Boggarts had leached all of the radiant Fey energy out of the place and made it their home. Now, I can spend my time combating these things as they come up, but the longer the gloaming is down, the more these things are going to happen. But I also believe, with the gloaming down, that I can find and enter the spiral. And I think that you have been sent as companions in my quest to battle the Slua and help the Wenya return. So, I present to you a quest. I've never been in the position of being a quest giver, but it is a sacred thing to my people. If you agree to join me in this quest, I can imbue you with certain protections, but you'll be given purpose, and that if you act towards that purpose, you will be allowed to act at your full power ability, perhaps even become more powerful. But if you accept this quest and then move away from it, it will have certain consequences. And she looks at all of you. If you do accept this quest, I ask of you to make an oath. And that oath that you make must have a consequence that you name. You have to risk something important to yourself to put towards this quest. And that way, the bond of the quest itself will become stronger. She looks to you, Sir Nolan. As a knight yourself, Sir Nolan Keth, you must be used to such agreements.
As yet, I have not had an agreement with such ceremony, but yes. And I will kind of look at everybody else and say, I believe, if I'm not mistaken, this is the purpose for which you were originally coming here before we had our fateful meeting.
It does feel that way.
Indeed.
Then I am your man. Are we prepared to do this? I'll also be looking at Rain. You got to keep that going for as long as possible.
Yeah.
Doesn't die.
Rain looks over to you, Kiernan.
I believe this is the reason I am here. It feels right to me, and so I am with you.
This seems of noble purpose. It's the type of thing we do. I do, anyways.
I've not known you all for long, but I can say this does appear to be the thing that you all do.
I only wish Zika were here as well.
We will find her.
Zika is likely on a quest of her own. If she is anything like you, I assume that she will be on a similar path. I am not the only one here with a vested interest in keeping this place functioning. Those who have been allowed to dwell here by the Wenya will do all they can to protect and bring them back. So now that we have agreed to the quest, I need you to make your oath and present your sacrifice. Sir Nolan.
I vow that I shall embark on this quest and I will see through until it is complete. Should I fail, may I never be called a knight, may I never wear this sigil again, and may they never tell the stories of me that are not warnings to others. And I'll look up and see if that works.
The Knight of Brambles is sitting kind of in the center of you, and she looks at you and kind of lowers her eyes, looks into your eyes, and you sense something passing from you to her. The other two of you will see a very, very faint glow coming from Nolan, and then it moves across to Fiora, and she kind of absorbs it. Yes, I see. This is important to you. You wish to be a true knight. If you turn away from this quest, you will be compelled to reject your knightly guise, and you will be just another man. Can become as wealthy, as powerful, you can become a king, but your story will be forgotten. Ordrum Flask Massacre of the Order of the Forge, please give me your oath and sacrifice.
I, on my honor, will do my best in this quest, and if I fail or walk away from it, may it forever be known of my dishonor, and all, even those who did not witness it, will know of my shame. All those that are important to me.
Looks into your eyes, and a similar experience happens. The rest of you will see a similar glow go from Ordrum to Fiora. Yes, you have spent much of your life righting a wrong that was not yours. You have suffered ignominy for no reason. You have made yourself a weapon, as your order directs. And this reputation you have built for yourself through hard work and sacrifice will come to nothing if you turn away from this quest. Should you die in defense of the Wenya, you will be known in this world as a hero and a true defender of good. But if you turn away, you will forever be marked as a villain, and the powers of the Forge itself may be stripped from you. It is not for me to say. Indeed. We accept your oath and sacrifice. Kiernan Locke.
I, Kiernan Locke, dedicate myself to this quest, and if I should fail or turn away from it of my own free will, I will relinquish my name that I gave to myself, that I have tried very hard to earn. I don't know that I have yet, but any ground that I've made in my path to forge my own identity, I will give that up and return to what I once was.
And much like the last two transactions that you have seen, this energy, once again, it wells up around his form, but slightly different than the other two. You see the colors of this halo around him, they change. They are kind of swirling, and they go from like a bright multicolored halo to a very dull and dim pattern. And then eventually they settle on this kind of bright form, and that goes from Kiernan into Fiora. And then, unlike the two of you, her eyes widen as she receives it.
You
are different, but not unknown to me. Your sacrifice is perhaps the most noble of all, in that your very being is turning away from a purpose that would not be in line with this quest in and of itself. Kiernan Locke, you are a man of honor and integrity, and you will not shy away from your perceived destiny as a champion of right.
Thank you.
If you falter, turn away from this quest, you will cease to be Kiernan Locke. Kiernan Locke will die, and Kiernan Phelan will live in his place and return to follow the path set out for him by the Witch Queen of Mortel. You will be hers forever, and whatever her dark desire is, you will follow without question.
I accept.
Nolan, you can go ahead and give me a history.
I have a lot of book learning, and I got a 6.
Okay. Alrighty. So, yeah, you have no idea. You have not existed in this world and not heard of Mortel. All you know of Mortel, really, that it's another scary place to be avoided. And you're not
going there tomorrow. Sure. Yeah.
Who knows? And she turns to Rain, this animal. There's something. I think I know what vexes your beast.
You do? Can you help?
I think I can. And she leaves the tent for a minute. And you hear her calling out in a language that none of you understand, as we've previously covered. And then she comes back in. She's carrying a fox.
Oh.
What color is this fox, Scott?
I think this is not your typical full-on red. I don't know my foxes very well. Please write in and tell me what I'm wrong. When I'm wrong about foxes.
No. It's a magical fey fox, so it's whatever color you want.
Yeah, no, it looks mostly brownish gray, kind of gray foxy, I guess, so that it will blend very well and is good, you know. I mean, all foxes are good at hiding, but exceptionally good at hiding if he wants to be. That's right, gray fox.
Okay, so this gray fox, she's carrying it, and it's asleep in her arms, and she sets it down on the ground in front of Rain, and Rain puts his head down and tips nose to nose with his fox, and for a moment, Kiernan, you see a spectral fox come out of Rain and go into this gray fox, and the gray fox wakes up in an instant, and then Rain just kind of rears back, looks a little confused, and then just kind of goes back to your side. Oh. You pet him, and he calms down.
Are you all right?
Chinook! Oh, wow, that was not fun. Are you with us? Fiora, wow, thanks. You must have found me wherever I was. Where was I? I found you on a trail. You were being pestered by some rogue brownies. They had put you into some kind of sleep. Oh, yes, those little bastards. Yeah, I gotta level with you, Fiora. I think there's something wrong with the gloaming. Yes, Chinook, the gloaming as it is right now is not functioning at all. Oh, shit. That's bad. Yes. Yes, it is, Chinook. Everyone, this is Chinook. He is the pathfinder of this place. He guides the worthy to the Wenya.
Nice to meet you.
Yeah, no.
Well met.
We've actually, Your wolf has inadvertently housed my spirit for some time.
I see that.
I'm not exactly sure what happened, but I woke up inside this wolf, just kind of appeared out of nowhere, and I've been kind of finding myself. He might have been, I don't know, he might have been acting strange.
Yes.
In some way. I'm not exactly sure. I was kind of recharging my spirit while this wolf was here. My spirit has never been forced out of my body. I'm not exactly sure how long ago it happened or where I was, but it might have been the only worthy vessel of my, well, glorious presence. But
he is quite worthy.
And he goes over to Rain and he stands up on his hind legs and puts his little front paw and like gives a little scruff to the wolf. He goes, "There's a good boy." Yep. Not the smartest animal in the world, but then again, few regular animals are. He certainly likes you. Well, what now? Fiora kind of brings Chinook up to speed. Now that we are all on the same quest, the gate to the spiral, We have to enter the Slua, find the center, and confront whatever is within. This is going to be a treacherous journey, so we will need a canny guide. Luckily, Chinook is one of the few beings in the Hollow that can navigate to specific places. Yes, I can, I can start by bringing you to the waterfall. The waterfall is the center of the Wenya. It is a place of power and... What? You're all looking...
Poker nose outside the tent. Oh.
Chinook goes and sticks his head out of the tent. Oh, damn it. All right, well, I guess that's not going to work. All righty, I think maybe, All right, well, that's okay. That's okay. We can go somewhere. I'm not a huge fan of this place, but it is, if anybody has a sense of what's going on, it'll be them. I'm going to take you to the cave.
The cave?
Yeah. And Fiora just kind of looks, the drow.
Oh.
We will have to speak to the drow. Very well. We'll spend our time here resting up for the journey ahead. Yeah, the path to the cave is, it's a little treacherous these days. I'm not exactly sure what we'll find, but we'll be following the stream to the center of the actual forest. In your world, that's where this cave is, and a bargain was struck some time ago between the Wenya and the Drow. They're the only elves, really, that have been allowed to stay here, because I get a sense that they're kind of rebels. They don't exactly play by the same rules as the High Elves or the Wood Elves or any other elves. But at first light, we'll make for the cave. And then maybe they can tell us how to get into the spiral or something. So you have the rest of the day.
I will do some healing on Nolan if he will allow it.
I was going to do a prayer of healing.
Oh, that's...
I'll totally take some healing.
So
yeah.
I could use it too, honestly. Prayer of healing will be much more effective, though. I can do more after if needed.
So is the fox in charge now, guys? What's going on?
I think the fox is our guide.
All right.
And we'll have a lot of knowledge that will be useful to us.
Okay.
Well, everyone can get 13 points from the prayer of healing.
Thanks. All right.
Nolan, do you still need some healing?
I could still use a bit of healing.
Okay. I will go ahead and give you 7. Take 7 back.
Okay.
I don't do a lot of healing, but... can help. I'll also use my last spell. I'll cast Goodberry, and why don't you go ahead and take 5 more from that.
All right. Well, that would get me all the way up. I only need a couple more, so that is great. Thank you.
Mm-hmm. How is Rain?
I healed. He's good, yeah. I healed him. Thank you. I'm very close. Once I rest, I'll be okay.
All right. So you are able to take a long rest. And I am going to tell you, while you are following this quest and all remain together, you are going to be given 20 temporary hit points.
Ooh.
That will refresh once a day as long as you follow this quest. And you can, once per hit die a day, you can declare an attack against a foe of the quest, a sacred attack, and get advantage on that attack. And that basically will reflect your acceptance of this oath. And obviously, if you break the oath, we're all good on what's going to happen there. So, yeah, try not to break the oath. You wake the next morning in the waterfall area again. Waterfall itself has healing properties as well, but there's not a ton of water. But if you fill a water skin with the water of the stream, it will act as a potion of greater healing.
Oh, great.
So you all can avail yourselves of that. Once you guys are ready to go, Chinook will come to you and be like, okay, so here's the deal. I am going to find the path and you are going to follow me.
Okay.
Do not lose sight of me. I move pretty fast, but I will try and move. And he looks over at Ordra. I'll try to keep at a pace. If you lose me, then you're going to be lost. And then I don't know where you'll wind up. So don't lose me. The next place we are going to go is the Drow Cave. And normally I can maneuver these paths without problem. But unfortunately, there's crazy shit going on all through the Hollow. So I have no idea what we're going to run into. So be ready for anything. Mm. Oh, yeah. And I'm not a fighter. So if something attacks us, I'm going to hide.
That's fine.
We will protect you.
Yeah, here. That'd be great.
Cannon, you and Rain probably have the best chance of keeping Chinook in sight.
I was thinking that as well.
So if you first, Otter and I will follow you. We'll all try to keep him in sight. But if anything happens, we can at least find you and you find Chinook. We should be good.
All right.
He looks over to Fiora. You're going to have to, Fiora, you know the rules. I'll find my way. And Fiora blinks out of existence.
What?
She can't take the regular roads. It's a whole thing. It's like a real long time ago. She has a way, but...
As long as she's all right.
Yeah, you can't fit where she's going.
Okay.
But she'll probably meet us there. It's complicated. There was this whole thing with this tree and, you know... Okay, so let's go! We're going to make a couple of rolls. Okay. And these are going to be... Let's call them... You can actually tell me how you were going to keep up with this guy. You tell me on something, and then we'll make some rolls. I'm not going to make it super, super hard, but there's always a chance you could get lost, and that could be a problem. But at the same time, all problems are opportunities.
I'm going to have Rain be our main source of connection. Rain does get advantage on wisdom rolls that rely on hearing or smell, so he can use... his senses to sort of keep track of. And I will use sight to keep track of.
Okay.
Chinook.
Yeah, and I think I'm just going to try to make sure I'm stick close to Kiernan, Fordrum sticks close to me, and I'll keep an eye also towards where our guide is, but I'm mostly relying on Kiernan and Rain doing it, like keeping us on track. I'm assuming, and this might be entirely wrong, but I'm assuming that we don't actually all keep the fox in sight. We just as a group have to be following.
Yes,
the fox.
Yes, so yeah.
Don't trust Sir Nolan's understanding of how magic foxes work.
So what I'm going to do then, first I'm going to have Rain give us a perception.
So that's 23.
Oh, yeah, okay. And then everyone else can make a perception with advantage.
That helps.
How'd you do?
Ooh, a shiny root.
Okay. So what'd you get, Nolan? Probably better than
16.
16? Okay, great. Yeah, you just really needed to beat a 5 at that point. So what happens is at a couple of points, Ordrum almost falls behind, but then Rain kind of runs back and kind of scoops you up. But he keeps Chinook in sight as you make your way through.
Good thing we had that herding wolf. Keep
this
in mind.
He's a shepherd.
Yeah. Alrighty. And now I'm going to have everyone just give me a regular perception roll.
Can I use my forest abilities or no?
Yes.
Okay.
What, 13.
24. I'm 24 now.
All right. There you go.
14 for Kiernan. Rain got a 22.
Okay. So as you are making your way through, Rain and Razor, you will notice that as you're moving through, at one point you see a couple of birds just take off from a tree ahead of you, and you don't think much of it because, hey, you're in the woods, there are birds. But the more you go, the more you start to see. And you eventually notice a small murder of crows. Mm. They're pacing themselves with you. They stop only if they get slightly ahead of you, and then will adjust their pattern as you go. And so Rain will stop and start to growl as he sees these birds. Once they have made each other's acquaintance, these strange birds, which appear to be very large now that you're looking at them, start to descend on you, and I'm going to need everyone to give me an initiative roll. However, not all of you are going to get to go at the first thing. Kiernan.
12.
Nolan.
16.
Razor.
20.
Okay, and then them. All right, so there are five weird, very large birds that are making a beeline towards you. Okay, so Razor, you will get to go first. And on your turn, this first time through, Kiernan, Rain can go,
okay,
but you can't.
Gotcha.
So these birds are descending on you. They're in the air. They're not upon you yet. So if you would like to do something at ranged, or if you would like to ready an action for when they close on you.
I'll ready an action to smack one of these things with my Warhammer, and it'll be glowing from divine favor as soon as they're close enough to smack.
And if you want to give me an Arcana roll, you can. Or I'll say Arcana or History, whichever is better, if it doesn't matter.
Oh, it does matter, actually. Yeah. History's that's an 11.
These are not normal birds, but you can tell by the fact that they're about the size of, like, small person. So you ready. Nolan, you are surprised. Yeah. So here come some birds. As birds descend upon you, please give me your hit, Razor, as you are attempting to swat one of these suckers out of the sky.
That's an 8.
That will miss. And then, okay, so that one's coming at you. It's going to attempt to claw you. You are missed, Razor. Nolan, he rolls an 8. He misses you. Kiernan, you are missed as well. Jeez. All right, so, ooh. All right, Rain is attacked by one that crits.
Oh, no.
He will take 7 points of piercing damage as
does
this bird.
Does he have temporary hit points as well?
Yes, he does.
Okay.
Everyone does. So these birds, they have glowing red eyes. They look, and I'll show you a picture of them from this book. They are big, scary black birds with glowing red eyes.
For the audience, they almost looked hairy.
They do, kind of.
Yeah.
Yeah.
They are made of solid shadow, and Rain can attack one of them.
Rain will bite, or try to bite. Ah, nat 20.
Okay, hey, there we go.
He returned the crit. So I believe he is a flat damage, so I just double that, yeah?
No, that she should. We'll figure that out later.
It just says 9 piercing.
Okay, so that's probably should be actually something. Usually they'll average it out. Well, we'll just say 18 for now, just for the sake of moving things along. And then we go back to the top, and that is Razor.
I'll try again. That'll hit. It's a bonus action. I'll strike again, and that will miss. 11 points of damage.
Okay.
Including the radiant damage.
Alrighty, yes, they appear to take all of that damage. Then we go to Nolan. There is a weird shadowy bird squawking in your face. You can give me a history arcana roll.
Oh, cool. I've heard a story about these. 19.
Okay, you've heard of shadow birds. They are considered undead. They are creatures of shadow and darkness. They are evil spirits, and they generally act as spies for some other beings that can see through their eyes. Do what you're going
to
do.
So evil spirit does not require to be engaged in nightly combat. Technically, nobody does, really. All right, so I'm assuming there is not another one of these things within 5 feet of it.
They're close. I mean, you're all kind of close, so.
Okay. Wow, that's terrible. That's an 11.
11 will miss.
All right.
So what's going to happen now is that one is going to attack Razor. Ooh, that is a 20?
That's the magic number.
Okay, and actually it attacks you with a bite and a claw. The bite will miss, but the claw will hit, and that will do 2 points of piercing damage if you can handle such horrible damage. So 2 of these birds are going to descend on Nolan, and they will be using pack tactics, so it's a little easier for them to hit you. So, first one is an 18. What's your armor class, Nolan?
My armor class is 18.
Okay, so you're hit once with a claw from one of them. You're missed with a claw from another one. Oh, These dice continue to roll not great. Okay, so you are clawed by one for 3 and bitten by one for 2. 2 are tag teaming on you. 1 is, oh, that's the natural 1. And nice. Yeah, so now basically everyone has 1 except for Nolan, who has 2 on him. So everyone else, these birds are just kind of coming down and slashing out and biting you. And from here on, the most that are missing, the other 2 are kind of focused on Nolan, are doing negligible damage. And we go to Kiernan.
Can I shoot an arrow at one, or do I need to use my short sword?
Yeah, it's pretty tight area, mm-hmm. So it's going to be really difficult for you to get arranged on them.
Okay. I will try to use my sword then. 24 to hit?
24 hits.
I won't do as much damage, but... it's something. 9.
Okay, 9 is good. Kiernan pulls out a short sword, takes a slash at one of these birds, and slashes it nicely. Razor, it is back up to the top of the order, and it is your turn.
All right. Yeah, I'll attack it again. That will miss, but I'll use a bonus action, and that will hit.
All right.
That's 6 points of damage.
Okay. Alrighty, Razor is slamming his bird around nicely. Nolan, there are 2 birds on you.
All right, I will attack one of them. Wah-ha-ha. Pretty sneaky. That is a 19.
Yeah, that'll hit.
And that is 8 points of damage.
Okay. Alrighty, and then we go to the birds. Okay, you are missed a couple of times, Razor, as this one tries to claw and bite at you. All right, that's 1 claw, 2 claw, 0 on the bite. All right, you are clawed by each of the birds on you, Nolan, for 5 piercing, and the one on, ooh, that's not going to hit. Is it 16 hit you, Kiernan?
Yeah.
Okay. You are clawed for 4 and bitten for 1.
Okay.
No, I'm sorry, 5 and 2. I keep forgetting to add. Okay. Rain, what's his armor class?
It is 15.
All right, you are... he is clawed and bitten as well. He is clawed for 2 and bitten for 3. And Kiernan, you are next.
I'm going to have Rain bite at his, actually.
Okay.
I'm assuming I'm within 5 feet of him, so he will get advantage. That is a...
he hits.
Yeah. And 9.
9? Mm-hmm. 9. Rain, on your command, jumps up at the bird on him and just... grabs it between his jaws and just whips his head back and forth, and the bird just disappears, and weird dark feathers turn into ash in the sky, and one of these birds is destroyed, and the other 4 call out this horrible crow noise, and we go back up to the top to Razor.
All right, bonus action. Okay, well, that's a natural 20. So.
Okay, good. You're probably going to kill this one.
16.
Oh, yeah. You annihilate the bird in front of you, and like the bird that was attacking Rain, it disappears into a poof of ashy feathers and vanishes. Nolan, the tide is turning in this battle between you and some birds.
Yeah, bird. Take some of this. That is a 13.
13 hits. Exactly.
Yeah. That's right. Take... 7 points of damage.
Alrighty, that is one hurt bird. And then we go to the birds. One of them tag teams on you, breaks off, and attacks Razor. But at this point, they're all considered within 5 feet of each other because you're such a small group. So you are slashed with a claw for 4, Razor, and you are missed. Yeah, they're all now in a nice little pack. Nolan, you are bit for 4. And Kiernan, yeah, you are bit and clawed for a total of 7. And Rain is clawed for 2. Then we go to Kiernan.
I'll strike at whatever's near me. That's gonna miss.
Okay, then we go to Razor.
All right.
Really hurt bird on you.
Wow, I keep rolling 2s on my first roll, and I hit 2nd. 11 points of damage.
Okay, the one on you explodes. And Nolan, now there are more of you than them.
Yeah, all right. I'm not sure that's going to hit. That's going to be a six. I'm getting a little cocky. I do a lot of sword flourishes and just six. Forget to actually strike the thing.
Six is not going to do it. Are you back to them? All right. Ooh. Razor, you are critted with a bite that will do 9. And then Nolan, you are clawed for 2 and bit for two. And
that was me hit for 2?
Yep. And then Kiernan, it's going to, claw and bite you. And yeah, you are going to be crit as well with a bite for 8. So yeah, these three remaining birds are just becoming a problem. Then we go to Kiernan.
I'm going to have Rain attack since Rain has advantage and does way better than I do.
He hits.
And that'll be 9.
9. Okay, that will take out the one that is menacing Razor. And now there are 2 birds remaining. Razor, there's 1 unhurt bird and 1 fairly hurt bird.
Attack the fairly hurt bird. Yeah, on the second attack, made my last bonus action attack. And that will be 13 points of damage.
Okay, that will just about take it out. Nolan, there is a very, very hurt bird and a completely unhurt bird.
All right, very, very hurt bird. Prepare to die. 21.
21 hits the crap out of it.
Yay.
Yeah, takes 8.
It dies. Another bird explodes. Yay. And then on the final bird's round, it withdraws into the sky. And it flies 120 feet up into the air.
I could still shoot it.
And Kiernan, you can draw your bow and take a shot at this bird.
I'm going to try. 20? We'll hit it, right?
20 hits it. Yep.
Right. And that is 10 points of damage.
Okay. It's still up there. Razor, is there anything you can do to this bird that is 120 feet away from you?
I could shoot a crossbow bolt at it.
You can go ahead and give it a try.
And a clay pigeon.
Less than a 13? Okay. Nolan, do you have any kind of range thing you can do?
I do. Let me loose an arrow at it. That is a 20.
That'll hit.
Yeah, and that will do a massive amount of 6 points of damage.
Alrighty. It is now 240 feet away from you.
Can still hit it.
And it is now Kiernan's go. Oh no! Hey, I'll allow you, since it's new, to declare this your sacred enemy. And have advantage against it, even though you didn't do that at all.
Even though I didn't do that.
Yeah.
I'll do it.
It's a new thing, so I'll let you do it.
Hey, that'll hit. And that is also 10 points.
So this bird propels itself high into the sky, and it is peppered with arrows from Nolan and Kiernan. And as it gets just about out of sight, Kiernan pulls back. How do you declare it your enemy? What do you say?
Oh gosh. Die, shadow bird. Fiend.
And then he pulls an arrow that for a minute seems to go wide, and then as the incantation is complete from Kiernan's kind of unsteady mouth, it moves over like a heat-seeking missile and explodes the final bird, and the trail is clear. And that as well, we'll leave things for today. As you're moving towards the inevitable encounter, long overdue encounter with some drow.
By the way, I nominate Die Shadow Bird Thing as a t-shirt.
Fiend.
That we got to make. Well, I also think
there's a lot of commas and ellipses in there. Just like
I like dashes. Can we use dashes?
Yeah.
I also think that we're anti-rabbit should be one.
Yes, yes. We're anti-rabbit.
I would like to pay special attention to a third-party publisher of 5th edition stuff, Clawwood Publishing. They have a book called Monsters of Feyland that I've been drawing most of my monsters from for these encounters. It's a hell of a book. If you want a lot of random fey creatures that are, you know, not your standard monster manual stuff, that is a great book. Any parting words from our heroes?
Thanks, everybody, for listening, for donating.
We weren't killed by birds.
All righty, we'll see you in 2 weeks.
Thanks for listening, everybody.
Bye.
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 Thank everybody for listening. And once again, we would love to thank our Apprentice Architect Patreons, John Christensen, Kevin Mike, Suzanne Bell, and Caitlin Thompson. We could not do this without you. You can join our Patreon at patreon.com/AOE podcast. Have fun. We'll see you next time.
can support Architects of Entropy at patreon.com/AOE podcast. You can also email us at entropypod@gmail.com. Thank you for listening.